Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. We're so glad that you tuned in today, for we are going to continue in our current series of studies in the book of Hebrews, Knowing Christ. We've already considered Him as our captain and deliverer, as our apostle and high priest, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider Him as our sacrifice and our access to God. And we will be spending our entire time in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we think it will benefit the listener if you will turn to that chapter and follow us through, because we want to engage in a series of contrasts between Christ and the Levitical offerings. The offering of Christ and the Levitical offerings, which were only pictures, which were only types and shadows of that which was to come. And the offerings, indeed, of the Old Testament were all terminated by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. They led up to that cross and no further. That cross was the end of God's ways. That is the final consummation, I should say, of God's ways of bringing men into His presence. Now, today we're just going to consider these contrasts because we have said before on the broadcast in connection with the study in Hebrews, the word better is seen in the book of Hebrews, and the contrasts are remarkable. And we are going to engage in some contrasts today that I think will indeed thrill your soul. All right. Now, we'll say that the many sacrifices that were demanded by the law, and I'm going to refer to verse 1 of the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Let's read it. Hebrews 10 and 1, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, they offered their many, many offerings. Solomon, on one occasion, when he first became king, offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, when they dedicated the temple, he offered even more than that. Now, there are many, many offerings, and they offered them year by year. It was a continual process. And that continual process reminded them that the problem of sin was not settled. They had to keep on bringing them back. Now, in contrast to this, in verse 12 of the first of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we read these words. But this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, in the temple and in the tabernacle, there were no chairs. Their work was never done. No rest. You never read of a chair in the tabernacle, or you never read of a chair in the temple. Their work was never done. And the high priest never sat down. Every high priest standeth, we read in verse 10, or rather in verse 11. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices that could never take away sins. But this man offered, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. You don't sit down till your work is done. His work is done. And God raised him from the dead and said, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. And he's still sitting. He does not need to take up the question of sin again. Now, the second contrast, the law forced the remembrance of sin, as we read in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sins every year. The law reminded them of the fact that this problem of sin was not settled. But now notice, please, in verse 17, and their sins and iniquities, God says, will I remember no more. And we are not to remember them either. They're gone. Gone to the satisfaction of God. How wonderful are these wonderful contrasts in the book of Hebrews. And our sacrifice, our Savior, Our sacrifice has done such a complete job, it does not need to be repeated. Now notice, please, God says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, there is a little song, a little chorus that we sing that you'll recognize. Buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. My sins are not buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. God can't forget. He's God. If you forget something, it's because that you are failing. And I forget plenty, believe me. But if you forget a things, that is the very proof of your fallibility. But God does not forget at all. He says, I will remember them. I'll not call them to mind. God could, but he says, I won't do it. They're gone. Christ paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. Oh, that people could see this. They would stop their little sacrifices of good works and prayers and almsgivings and things of that nature, the sacrifices that they're making. And they would depend on the sacrifice of Christ for acceptance. Now, in the third contrast, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. We read in verse 4. I'll read it. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. You cannot have an animal die for the sins of a human being. Believe me, when a man is sentenced to death here in our day and age, he doesn't give his pet bulldog or some other animal that is near to him to die in his place. No, the law does not work that way. God's law does not work that way. It's not possible for an animal to die for a man. But Christ was a man. He became incarnate so he could die for your sins and for mine. Oh, how wonderful that contrast. And then the fourth contrast, the law of sacrifices can never make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 1. Did you notice that? We'll read it again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, I want you to notice the language of verse 14 of this chapter. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, what a contrast. Those offerings could not make a man perfect. Christ's offering makes us perfect and perfectly acceptable in the presence of God. Oh, that men would trust it. That men would believe that the problem of their sin was settled by God himself. Trusting, of course, that we'd be satisfied with his settlement. You know, the Old Testament saint had the privilege of bringing his own lamb. The lamb had to be perfect. After all, it was a picture of Christ. But he brought his own lamb, and he brought it in, and he put his hand on the head of the animal when he sacrificed it, as if to say, this animal is dying for me. We need to put our hand of faith upon Christ and say that God's lamb died for me, and I've done it. I am identifying myself with Christ, God's sacrifice for me. Now, God selected the lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, that which taketh away the sins of the world. He's the Lamb of God. God selected the lamb, and that lamb died for me. I am satisfied with God's choice. How about you? Isn't that wonderful that he did that for us? Now, the fifth contrast. The animal sacrifices were taken away that Christ's sacrifice might be established. Verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The value of the sacrifices, as far as the children of Israel were concerned, ended when Christ died on the cross. And so we go on. Verse 6, if you please. The Israelitish priests could only stand, showing their work was never done. We've already covered that point. But Christ sits at the right hand of God, showing that his work is done. Now, there's a very important admonition to you and to me in the 19th verse of this wonderful 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Here we read in 19, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This needs a word of an explanation. The high priests, Israelites, high priests, the sons of Aaron, went into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, confined. And they only went in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. First, he brought in blood to cover his own sins, and then he brought in the blood of a sacrifice to cover Israel's sins. That veil was broken or pulled open only by the high priest. No one else dared to enter into the Holy of Holies. But now you and I, we can go into the presence of God. That's what we're told. By having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, we go in. We don't go in through the intermediary of a priest. We go in ourselves. Why? Because we are kings and priests unto God. Every child of God is a priest. He has a right to go into the presence of God. The way has been opened. You know, it's remarkable that when our Lord Jesus Christ died, and you can read this in Matthew, I think it's chapter 26. I don't have the verse near at hand, and it doesn't come to mind. But you read there, when our Lord Jesus Christ died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That veil in Herod's temple, that veil, I have been told, was 4 inches thick, of the most luxurious material. That veil was rent from top to the bottom, showing that it was an act of God. The veil is open. Open for you and for me to go into the presence of God at any time that we may wish. All because of the blood of Christ. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. We can draw near now. We do not need to fear. God will hear us. And it is such a privilege to come into the presence of God, knowing that you're welcome, knowing that you have a right to be there. The blood has been shed. He's my sacrifice. I put my hand of faith, so to speak, on Christ and identified myself with him. Has the listener done that? You can do so by faith. Tell him so. Tell him you love him. Tell him you trust him. Father, today, bless these thoughts to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.